CliffCentral.com.
Dun, da, da, dan, da, dan. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sipping Tea with Timmy Meraki. How's everybody? How's hot? Like a sheet, like a lemon. Good to hear everybody. Everybody's all snug and warm. Lovely, like a sheet, like a lemon. I'm very confused about this weather. Somebody promised me, I don't know when it was in July, and they're like, oh, this is the coldest day of the winter. From here, it's all gravy in the navy. And then what has happened? It has but gotten colder. So I'm feeling very highly misled by all these meteorological experts who then turns out they just don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then they give us all the false sense of home and comfort. Anyway. So today on Sipping Tea, ladies and gentlemen, I decided that I want to invite someone who I respect. He confuses me a lot, but he also makes me feel very good. And I've known him for a very long time. I've known him since before I even knew I wanted to be a comedian. He is a talented young man. His name is Joey Razdeen.
Hello.
How's that?
I'm fine. How about you?
I like a sheet, like a layman.
Do you always speak like that when you're on Club Central?
Yes.
Because when we're at home, you don't speak like that.
No. You see, people have actually gotten used to it. I start with one accent and then I degenerate into my own accent. It starts with Timmy Meraki and then it ends with the Kader. You know?
It's very strange.
It's my schizo. Yeah. Leave me alone, Joey.
Your hair looks very nice today, love.
Thanks, hun.
Yeah.
When you say today, what does this mean in terms of every other day?
Yeah, I'm just don't just if you say not. I don't know. Maybe yesterday it wasn't so nice. That's what I'm implying.
But my grays are out. Did you see my gray hairs? They're not even. There's no scum. They don't have any scum anymore. They're like proper. Hi, we're here to hang.
Yeah, I see. You even got more than me,
dude.
Yeah.
You know,
but I dye my hair sometimes.
Is it? I've stopped because dyeing seems to have made it worse. Like I found gray hairs on my cooch, and I was like,
"Habo,
I'm telling you, guy."
I've got two tone
pubes.
Nee guy, and you early 30s.
I know, right? But you know, my mom at 40 proper had like I think most of her head was silver. It was silver gray. It was gorgeous when she donged it.
Is it?
But I don't dong. We're not in an age of donging. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The
with
age
my
of donging.
Yeah. You remember the thong where you thong your hair and then you can't sleep. You have to rest your head
on
your arms so that you don't press the curls because then the curls are going to be flat in the morning.
Yeah, we can't describe that. It's like a thinking man. You know how the thinking man statue is?
You have to sleep like a thinking man.
Like a thinking man statue.
Oh my God, yes. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So you're the thinking man.
Yes, you have to sleep like the thinking man. But thank you, Joey. I got this hair done in Ghana because I was in Ghana for a couple
of years. No wonder it looks so international.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, when beauty is abstracted as ugliness being implied. That is the line I was looking for.
Sure. Say it again.
When beauty is abstracted, has ugliness been implied? And what you asked me about my hair today, that's basically what that statement says. When beauty is abstracted, has ugliness been implied? So when I said your hair looks very nice today, am I implying that it looked cuck the other days? Mm.
Yeah. Do you get laid a lot because of lines like that? Are there chicks who are like, oh my God, you're so smart, let's have sex?
No. There's these girls that call themselves sapiosexuals, they're liars.
Please explain sapiosexual to me. I'm that doers. I've heard people call themselves sapiosexuals. I haven't had the energy to ask the worldwide interweb. Which my son, you know, my 7-year-old said that to me once. He was like, Mom, if you don't know, just ask the internet. Mm. It knows everything.
Everything. Google that. You remember?
So, what's a sapiosexual?
It's a person that's attracted to intelligence, sexually attracted to intelligence.
Ooh, I actually used to have a line where I'd say women flash their boobs and men's intelligence drops. Men flash their intelligence and women's panties drop.
Yes, but that's a lie because it never works.
Really?
Because you think this girl is a sapiosexual. Either I'm cuck dumb or, Or she's just a liar.
Or she's dumb. Because I love it when some girls, like I've seen it a lot on Instagram and Facebook, where they put it on as their bio that they say pure sexuals.
Yeah.
And then you read what they write. You're not matching your sexual appetite. Like, please offer what you are saying you want as well. Because they are not...
I'll give you an example. If you are a true sapiosexual, then the hottest guy on earth is Stephen Hawking, the guy in a wheelchair, because he's the most intelligent person living right now with an IQ of 200 and something. Hmm. If you are a true sapiosexual, you'll be turned on sexually by Stephen Hawking.
So when did it become a trend to be sapiosexual? Like, when did it become a thing? Because I feel like these girls put it there to try and look or sound fancy somehow. Like, somehow it makes their bio look even better that, oh yeah, I'm trying to shake the heck out of your intelligence. Like, I don't get it.
I think it's when they broke up with their previous partners.
And they're trying to say you're dumb.
Yeah, and then they're going, this guy is a dumb dumb. They're like, oh, I broke up with him. He's so stupid. I'm a sapiosexual. We couldn't speak about things. All he liked was sports and Grand Prix and stuff. Now, the thing about that is people that like sports and Grand Prix and cricket and rugby and American football, that doesn't mean they're stupid, because it's quite complex. It's quite complex to understand certain sports. As opposed to, do you want me to speak about the financial statements or about the periodic table?
Yeah. But talking about something smart doesn't necessarily mean it's interesting.
Yes, but sometimes smartness is like wisdom. Sometimes is confused by smartness.
Yeah.
Because some people would not go to school, like some
but
granny.
They're very wise.
Yeah, but they have wisdom. They have like certain sayings and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, I didn't think about it that way. So sometimes the wisdom I think is more important. Yeah, like I think so that they must change the sapiosexual definition, not with intelligence, but wisdom. Mm. So then a guy like the Dalai Lama would be like sexually attractive, but he wouldn't want to do it. And that makes him even more attractive.
Hmm.
Just think about it.
Because I find it interesting, if you're sapiosexual, then why are you selling it on Instagram where nobody is there to be intellectual?
Yeah, to actually speak to you. Let's understand.
We can't filter your sapio at what the demand is.
It's like if you say to me, where are you from? And then I say, I'm from this place. And then I go, and then you go, oh, that place, it's got this street and that street, and it's got all these things and stuff. And then that it's like, this guy is clever. In the meantime, I can just Google Maps where you stay and name the streets. And then you're like, yo, this guy is clever. He knows my... I just Google Maps it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a very strange affair. Yeah.
How are you, Joe?
I'm fine. So I'm fine. I'm blessed now. Mm. I was going through a bit of a depression state. But as you know, now we're speaking on radio. The same conversations we have at home, you want us to speak on radio?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk within reason. Within reason. Because I feel like in the country, when people listen to talk radio or they listen to whatever that, you know, where they know people are going to be covering various topics, I try as much as possible not to talk about what I think everyone wants to hear about. I try to talk about what matters to me at the moment.
Yes.
And for me, relationships are everything. The reason I invited you was because I feel like, you know, your life has had tragedy and beauty and it's so well-rounded in that I feel like in your young age, and by young, I mean honestly, for someone who's been through what you've been through, I feel like you have experienced relationships on every level. You know what I mean? You know what it's like to be with the love of your life.
Mm.
You know what it's like to try again.
Mm.
You know what it's like to decide, do I let go? Do I hold on? Do I give up? Do I fight on?
Mm.
And to be a single dad, you know? I just feel like It'll be interesting to get a male perspective, because you know it's very easy for us as women to go on and on about relationships and how difficult men are, and oh God, I'm so depressed, and because men are so depressing. But we never get to hear the male perspective, because I've watched you. You're an amazing dad. You are an amazing dad. Like, you are present. You are so busy, yet you're one of the most present fathers I know. You're so up to date with what's happening with your children. If right now at the drop of a hat someone called and had a random question about your children, I don't even expect that you'd blink first. You would immediately.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I guess it's, I'm lucky in that we do what we do.
Yeah.
This comedy thing.
Yeah.
And people always like when the public ask you, oh, are you making so much money? Or you're not so successful, why don't you go overseas? Or stuff like that. Then you're like, nobody can buy time.
Yeah.
Nobody can buy time.
Yeah.
So the time that I have with my children, or just in general for myself, you cannot put a value on that. So, and that is more important than anything else. It's like, because time, you can't get time back.
Yeah.
So
the child isn't going to stay three forever.
Yes.
They're not going to love you.
Yes.
Forever. Well, they'll always love you, but I mean that love where they don't go, I hate you, dad, get out of my life.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like if you're there scoring the first goal, if you're there, like you can't get that moment back.
Yeah.
And you don't know when that moment is going to happen. So you plan, or you try and be there in case a moment like that happens.
But you're a fucking firecracker. How are you managing? Because I know your children are like your highest priority, right?
Yes.
But you're also generally full of cuck. Like, how do you measure, I don't want to compromise? For example, I don't want to end up in jail. I'm trying not to land myself in jail.
Yes. It's decisions. It's like choices. Like, people with choices have power. And luckily enough, thus far, you must hope that even if it's the wrong choice, land you up at the right place. Yeah, so even if you make the wrong choice, you must just pray that that wrong choice lands you up at the right place.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, you'll go, oh, if I didn't make that choice, I wouldn't have been here right now. So actually, it's the right choice. So as long as you make a choice, and that's important.
Are you still getting laid?
Not really. I'm so useless.
Is it because you're busy, or is it because being a single dad?
It's because my libido is down. It's because you meet a person and you're like, can this person do the tricks that my ex can do? It's like, you know, it's a strange thing. You can't just go to a club anymore like we used to back in the day. Oh, yo, tell me what you're doing tonight, let's go roll. And then we go to a club and then maybe there's somebody that likes you there. It's not like that anymore. You can't like, you know. And then also I'd like to say that most of the people I've ever been with are still my friends. Like, you know, I can still call them. So it's very difficult.
But you're a freak as well, so it is hard for you to just go and pick up, because you're such a kinky young man. Like, you can't just, because then this child might be traumatized and go to the newspaper.
How are you gonna now expose me like this guy? I'm a dad guy. Yes. What if Hakeem is listening to this now?
Why should then Hakeem should go, then it means I'm a normal human being. If I grow up and I find that I have very exotic tastes sexually, then he must know he's a normal human.
Okay, so is it exotic for us to have tea? I mean, so what's more vulnerable? What's more vulnerable? And what is more erotic? People making love or just having sex, or the same people naked having tea and not having sex?
That's hot. That is.
Like, so
I'm
is that weird?
Excited,
is that weird now? Is that weird?
No, that's
it's not
weird.
Weird.
That's
it's not
hot.
Weird. Yeah, it's like it's much more vulnerable. Yeah. It's much more erotic. It's much more exotic.
Yeah.
It's like you just chill. You have normal conversations about rediscovering your soul.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you know, and you just like normal things. You speak about sports. You speak about how's your, but you're naked. And you're having tea, so that is much more, I don't know,
is
much.
This is how you trap these poor girls. You're like, let's just sit and have tea naked. I won't touch you.
No, what poor girls do? Please enlighten me, please. The last girl that was actually at my house besides my ex was you.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so true. So
and I passed out on your couch.
And I did nothing.
You gave me cake. I don't know how much cake you gave me. Cake and tea. Literally knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, that's supposed
to be
such
a bad space.
Yeah. And but the thing about it is that like that judgmentality, man, you know, it's much more exciting to desire something. Okay, it's like if you like New York cheesecake and you desire New York cheesecake and it's nice to desire it, but when you eat it, it's even better. But it's you know.
But the build up.
That's nice. And also, I think you're at that age now where you like I'm at that age now where you like your libido is a bit down. The things that was important to you in a person is not important to you anymore. Like rather, if the person is like really hot, like if we can have conversations naked with tea, even if that person is a midget and here's Jessica Alba, I'd rather go for the person that's a midget. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's where that the mind is more important. I think at this age and experience and stuff going through marriages and stuff and whatnot. The mind plays much more important. It's like, for instance, certain things, because you know when you bake a cake, you have to have eggs and flour and all those things for the cake
to come out a certain way.
But what if you use the same ingredients but not the way they say you use it?
Okay.
Not the way. Does that make sense? Like, not the way you. Like, for instance, you have to go out on a date, and then you have to, you have to go out on a date, and then you have to, after the date, you have to go for wine and what. What if you don't do those things? You just meet the person, you don't even know the person's name and stuff and what, and you just grab the person and you kiss right there in front of everybody and what. That's like impossible. It hardly happens. In movies, maybe it happens. James Bond will do that. So, yeah, I don't know. I know. My mother always used to say, you must know your past, understand your present, and then you will make proper choices for your future.
So tell me this then, based on what you've just said. I met you when your late wife was still ill. And you lost her and you remarried and that didn't work out. And now here you are. So where are you now in that? In terms of knowing your past,
like
your present and planning for your future. Cause do you, for example, still believe in marriage? Would you marry again? And what do you think needs to change in you in terms of how you treat women? Is there anything you've learned?
I've learned
about
so much.
In terms of how you treat the women in your life.
Yeah, so much. Point of reference. That's why I came up with a gag of point of reference.
Yeah.
You're so addicted to your own point of reference, you don't see the next person's point of reference. And because you're so addicted to your own point of reference, you don't think anything else can be better or right. So you don't show empathy. So for instance, there's certain things that I did that I thought was normal. For instance, like leaving the towel after I bath. So for me, that's like nothing. But for another person, that's a big thing.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Because you're implying that you've decided that I'm here to clean up after you.
Yeah,
that's not even what you're thinking. You're just going out, done with the towel.
Yeah, but that's that person's point of reference.
Yes.
That's nothing to do with me. But now you won't know that if you don't understand that person's point of reference. So you can't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And you don't know that you don't know it because you don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That actually makes sense. You don't know because you don't know that you don't know it.
Exactly. So now you're going to just keep on doing what you're doing. And in the meantime, for instance, we did not know back in the day that smoking causes cancer.
Right.
And people are just like smoking away and smoking until they like, but you know what is one of the biggest causes of cancer? Smoking. Now you can do better. But even then, so now I know, but I still smoke. You know what I'm saying? So if you, if you know better, then you can do better. So yeah. I've learned that about
myself.
So
everything you do is informed as opposed
Yes. And it's choice. And it's choice driven.
Yeah.
So so that's the one thing. The other thing is like you have to take responsibility for your own actions.
Mm.
Like, you know, when my first wife passed away, you knew me then. Mm. And I was like a doers.
You were a mess.
Yeah.
You were a mess.
And then I always blamed it on something else. Not blamed it, but I used to justify certain of my choices.
Yeah.
And that was wrong. I can't say it was wrong because it led me to here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the one thing. Then the other thing is also empathy is a very important thing in anything, in anything. Mm. And through truthfulness, you know, you have to your own truth, like how do you feel?
Oh.
How do you like where I'm at right now? Like, yes, I don't want to get divorced.
Yeah. That must be hard. I mean, where you are convinced that no, when you love someone, that's it. And the only way you break up is if there's death involved.
Mm.
Because that's what you knew.
But you see, the thing about it is love is also a different thing. Eh? Like people love differently.
Yeah.
Like certain people love differently to other people.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that. I'll give you an example. The way my son loves me and the way he is towards me and the way my daughter is towards me is two different things, but it's exactly the same emotion.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same. And the way they are with each other is exactly the same emotion. Mm. So it's you have to also filter through those things. You also have to understand, again, that point of reference, that marriage, coming back to that, it's like, you know, as an institution, because people will choose to be together out of love.
Mm.
So if you choose to be together out of love, then the institution of marriage is not necessary, in my opinion. It's like it's not no more necessary because it's an institution. So like, for instance, you still have a car, but now you want a BMW.
Mm.
But you have a car.
Yeah. But you want the nice car.
Because the nice car, because it's an institution to have a BMW, because that's the ultimate, In the meantime, that BMW can drive cock, or it can put you in an accident, or, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, so the institution of marriage is sometimes looked upon like the way we were indoctrinated and how people perceive it, people's point of reference. Yeah. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Most relationships is based on, if not all, based on like what I call a pie chart, like physical attraction and satisfaction, emotional stability and satisfaction, and spiritual upliftment. That's all relationships. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, you and your child, you and your father, you and that's like most. It's like, for example, you and your priest, the pastor. That's only a spiritual relationship.
Yeah.
There's no physical attraction and satisfaction there involved. Sometimes maybe, depending where you grow up. emotional stability, like your best friend.
Yeah.
You and your best friend is not going to get freaking.
But I mean, don't you think marriage nowadays, I mean, besides love and companionship and forever, it's a way of saying, I'm locking down this person that they're mine. Can you not go somewhere else? Can you just, I'm locking you down your mind?
Isn't that a bit selfish?
What do you mean?
Isn't it a bit selfish? I mean that if you're saying, I'm locking down this guy and he mustn't go anywhere else, isn't that selfish? Or rather, should you say, I am locking myself down
for this guy.
Hopefully he'll reciprocate.
I see. So again, point of reference.
Yeah. So it's like hopefully he'll reciprocate.
Yes.
And if he does reciprocate, then it's fine.
But by agreeing to marry you, he is reciprocating. You're both agreeing to this lockdown. Unless you've said, because like you said, it's an institution. It's set. It's a set thing with its set rules. Hence, it has a title. Because it has a title and then it has a breakdown of what it is.
Mm.
So
Wait. Before you go any further, let's just explore this chart quickly.
Okay.
So in this chart, you have this pie chart. I'm trying, just imagine it as a pie chart.
Yeah.
So in before you get married, or even if you have a relationship with whoever, your pastor, whoever, is that there's certain things, let's just say that pie chart is 100%.
Yeah.
So all three of those things will get a percentage.
Yeah.
So every relationship that you have in your life will differ.
Yeah.
So now, the one. So spiritual upliftment, but that comes under religion and what you believe in and how you want to grow up, your how you want to raise your children and the morals you want to instill in, that's spiritual.
Yeah.
Then you have emotional, like who you can speak to. Does this person make love, the trust, trustworthiness, the truthfulness that comes under emotion. Then you have physical satisfaction and attraction. That's obvious, right? So now, in relationships, you always have to understand what is the most important or how is this relationship. So you meet a guy and this guy, so for instance, you married and you meet Brad Pitt. You and Brad Pitt, you just physically attracted to him.
Yeah,
you just want to sleep with him. That's all. That's all. Whereas with you and your husband, you have spiritual, maybe 30% spiritual, maybe 20% physical, maybe and then 50% emotional. You and Brad Pitt has no... So emotional stability is more important in your relationship with your husband. And physical might be 20. Here's Brad Pitt. He's got no emotional or spiritual.
It's I don't just, care who he is.
You don't care.
I love the way he looks.
Exactly. So that's just purely physical. So now, what will be more influential in your in the bigger scheme of things with your husband, Brad Pitt, or your best friend who is 90% emotional and 10% spiritual and no physical? So your best friend is there and saying, ah, you know what, yeah, Tumi, your husband is, yes, your husband is like this and like this. Ah, Tumi, you should just leave that. Ah, Tumi, look at you, you're so depressed, go and do this and do that. Whereas Brad Pitt, if he says that to you, you're going to go, what are you
just
all about?
Shut up and take off your pants.
Exactly. Exactly. So Brad Pitt has less influence on your relation, on your life, than your best friend. Yet in marriage, those things, it says, ah, you can't have a look at Brad Pitt. But it's fine for you to have a best platonic friend. And your best platonic friend has so much more influence on your thinking and your institution of marriage than Brad Pitt would ever have. Yet the marriage institution saying, ah, you, I'm locking you down. You can't look at Brad Pitt.
I hear you. I hear you.
So it's that, it's so that point of, so that choice also is that choice. It's like, yo, what do I want to get out of it? How am I going to, so, and then sometimes you just have to let go. Sometimes you're just stuck there. Sometimes you just have to put it in hands, in somebody else's hands. Fate.
Fate.
Yeah.
Joey is being deep, guys. Joey is being too deep. Let's just take a break. And for now, I need you to digest what he's saying about that best friend and that one
colored
night shake.
It's an old term. It's no colorful. Yeah. It's an old term. That's colored.
Make the circle bigger. Make the circle bigger.
We're back. So I'm hanging out with Mr. Joey Rastine. And the reason I'm hanging out with Joey is a lot of people know the crazy comedian, zany guy. I don't think people know this guy, my friend. He's my relationship Yoda. He's generally a good guy.
You are.
Because, I mean, I feel like when it comes to the industry, you know, people have friends in the industry, they have peers in the industry. And I have been very picky about who I associate with in this industry. You know, you can't just be friends with everybody. And you have been definitely one of those keepers for me.
Thank you, Tumi.
I've known you for almost as long as I've known my husband, actually.
Yes. Yes, you guys went out for like 3 months.
Yes, we were still friends.
Like 2 months.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We just started dating.
Yeah. You and Judy Jake.
And Judy Jake.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and Judy Jake.
Go way back.
Way back.
Way back.
Way back. Yeah. Way back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hectic.
So we're talking about all these you know, these principles in marriage. What's important to you? What's not important to you? And would you say your first wife?
Yes.
Is the big influence still right now?
Yeah, she always had these things that she used to say, and she didn't speak a lot. She didn't complain at all. She was just like there. And so once she just said, I'm going to London now. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, no, I'm going to London. I'm going to the kibbutz and stuff. And just wait. the thing about it is, she also used to say something like, to the effect, you're going to get where you're going to.
Huh.
So
you're going to get to where you're going to.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you are.
You're going to get there.
You're going to get where you're going to.
Did she mean where you're meant to go, or she just meant whatever you do will lead you somewhere? You must know that whatever you do is going to lead you somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's somewhere you want to be or are meant to be, we don't know.
Yeah.
But you're going to inevitably end
continue.
Up somewhere. You continue. You can't stop.
Yeah, continue.
That scares me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a scary thing or not. I don't know. It's like, Chose used to say stuff like, you know, you should love a person because you want to love a person because that person has certain characteristics in them that makes them that makes you love them. That brings certain traits out in you, certain qualities out in you, and you must love them because it's your choice, not because they must reciprocate. So I love you because I want to love you, and I love you not because you're reciprocating. If you're reciprocating, it's a bonus. So more often than not, and especially with women, is that they love the guy if the guy loves them back.
Not necessarily. I'd like to differ, but I hear you.
Yeah, but in most, well, that's the scenario they want to put forward. It's like, oh, you don't love me. Oh, well, then I'm not going to do this and this and this and this and this. Also, a guy has a responsibility. If he knows a person loves him, you can't take advantage of it. And too often, more often than not, guys take advantage of that.
Yeah. You know what? I have to, like, just to step take a slight step back, is I feel like women, that thing you're saying about love back, it's actually more the physical, it translates more physically than anything. Where we go, I am dedicating my cooch to you. It is yours. This body now belongs to you. I expect that your body now belongs to me.
Yeah.
And there'll be things you want me to do for you physically that I'm not willing to do for you, but I expect that you're not going to go out and get somebody else to do them. You understand? It's like that's our big thing. I think our biggest, more than love me back, I will love you on condition. Because that one, why I'm saying I don't quite agree with it is I look at how many women get a beat down from their men, but they're still there every day. Or I just giving these guys kids because she's fulfilled. She doesn't care that he doesn't love her. She's like, he's spending money on me. He's giving me babies. Now my family looks at me as this successful woman because I managed to get married and have kids and be rich.
Again, comes with marriage institution.
Marriage institution, yeah. But it's interesting because, you know, I had this debate with friends of mine and they got very upset with me. These were married women where they were talking about how if their man cheats on them and then they are cold in bed, he mustn't be surprised because she knows he's been eating out there. Now how can he expect that she's going to give it up? And I go, wait, that doesn't, you're not making any sense to me right now. So you are not fulfilling your end of the deal because he's gone out and done some shit that you're not willing to do for him.
Yeah, that's not a reflection on her. It's a reflection on him.
It's a reflection on him, yes. So I was just like, no, man, that can't be a reason. Because me, I still want to get some. If I'm hot for you and you arrive and I know you've eaten somewhere else, but I'm still hot for you. I want time. And as long as she didn't exhaust your energy, that's when you're going to have problems. If you're eating outside and then you come home and there's nothing left for me, then we have a problem. There must be something left for me.
You kill me.
No, but does that not make sense, Joey?
It makes sense. It makes sense. But you see, that's an anomaly thinking. You're thinking like an anomaly. Most people don't think like that. And they'll be like, how can she say that? And I can understand why she said that. They say that. It's important that you must do what you do because you want to do it.
Yes.
And you must do it with enjoyment. Mm. And that enjoyment must be your reward. That's it. Anything else is a bonus. If he did not give it up and he comes back, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus.
You know what I'm saying? So you must do what you do. So if you, man, your man wants you to do certain things in beds and stuff, it's not because you don't want. You must do it because you want to do it. And you must do it with enjoyment. And that enjoyment is your reward. If he enjoys it, it's a bonus for him. It's a bonus. If it's...
Because we're there to satisfy each other.
Yeah, not even with that. In general, if you work and you're a doctor, you must be a doctor because you want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And you must do it with enjoyment.
Yeah.
And that enjoyment must be your reward, not the salary.
Yeah.
If you save a life, that's a bonus.
That's amazing. Oh, what do you mean that's a bonus? That should that not be your aim?
No, your aim should be to do it with enjoyment.
Should the bonus be the finance?
No, wow. The enjoyment of you operating and doing a heart transplant.
Yeah.
You must do that because you want to do it and you must do it with enjoyment. And if that person lives, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Because it's out of your hands, ultimately, still in God's hands, if you believe in higher beings. So most people, they don't do because they want to do it. They do it because
they have to.
Yes. So
I
they
have
go
to get married. It's
yeah,
expected.
Yeah. I have to go to work today. Yeah, I hate work. The traffic is so cock. You know. So most people, in general, 90% of the population actually goes and say, "Oh, I don't have list for Monday. Oh, I don't have list." The successful people, if you look around the entire world, is they do things because they want to do it.
Yes.
And they do it with enjoyment.
Yes.
There's Richard Branson enjoying the shit he's doing.
Yeah.
And that enjoyment then translates as his reward. It's like the money and the fame and all those other things. It's just a bonus. He didn't worry about that.
It's interesting, actually. You're right. Because, I mean, I know that once you fulfilled, you know, there was a time I used to know exactly when is the end of the month.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly when is the middle of the month.
Yeah.
But then you get to that point where...
Time doesn't matter. You're
comfortable. Even when you don't have money, you're happy where you are. Yeah. You're comfortable. It's like
you worry like a normal person.
Yes,
yeah, you
yes,
worry about yes, a normal person because yes, you have responsibilities.
Yes. But your job has stopped being a job. You're not doing it so you can count down to payday.
Yes, yes.
You're doing it because you're going, I'm fulfilled right now.
I'm loving what I'm doing. So, and I'm doing it with enjoyment.
Yeah.
So once, because I hit that stage in my career maybe last year where you start not enjoying it anymore.
Yes,
where you don't
I'm
do it
right
in,
now.
Where you're not enjoying it anymore. And then you're like, shit, I'm not enjoying it anymore.
Yeah.
And then you're looking and because you're not enjoying it anymore, that enjoyment is no more your reward. Like there's no rewards now.
You have to look for the reward.
Yeah, now you have
to look for it.
Yeah, now you have to look for a reward and more often than not the reward comes as an intangible thing like money. It's not the emotion.
But isn't that how you then end up messing up as well? Like I find that that's when you start looking for other avenues that are going to satisfy that thing for you.
Yes.
You go somewhere else to find that adrenaline that's not pumping anymore.
Something else
that's going to make you feel
choices.
Amazing about yourself.
It's the choice.
Yeah. Because I mean, for me, at least I've been able to channel my energy and I'm grateful that when I stopped enjoying it, I went, let me try something else so that I can maybe, because sometimes it's because we forget why we're doing what we're doing. So I went, let me go and try this radio thing. Let me go and try write some shit. Let me do something different. And then once that excites me or I figure out what it is in there that's tickling me, I can find that energy back in the thing I do mainly, which is comedy or whatever you do. And then you find yourself because it's like that thing. Now we're on a constant search.
You see, I'll give you this example. A doctor, when he is operating, he don't give a shit about what people is thinking about him.
Yeah.
Because he's operating, that's his job. Yeah. He's doing that now. If he fails, he fails.
Mm.
If the person lives, the person lives.
Mm.
In that moment, he doesn't give a shit about anything.
Mm.
You know. So in comedy, when we started, when I was on stage, you know, I didn't give a shit what the crowd thought about me. It's like whatever you
we
haven't
care
been,
what we were wearing. We
nothing.
Didn't care.
Where you haven't been in my shoes.
Yeah.
So you don't know what I've been through.
Yeah.
Most people don't. People just see, there's Joey, that lovable guy, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know what I've been through.
Yeah.
So that, like even Trevor is a great example.
Yeah.
He's the successful guy, but people don't know what he's been through.
Yeah.
Like what hard life he had.
Yeah.
So all you see is this.
Which Trevor is this?
Noah.
Okay.
Yeah, even Gumbi.
No, because they're both successful. That's what I'm saying. They're both successful. Which one are you talking about?
No, but both of them. Gumbi also.
Yeah. They've been through quite
a bit. You.
Yeah.
So people don't know that.
Yeah.
So if you know them, if you know Gumbi personally and you're like, yesterday, you know.
What a journey.
Yeah, what a guy.
Yeah.
So they only see Trevor now, but they don't see the other things. You know what I'm saying? So that is both of them.
Yeah.
So that is, so, and that is that line. You do what you do because you want to do it and you do it with enjoyment and that enjoyment is your reward. Everything else is just a bonus. Now, if you don't have comedy, if you don't have something that you enjoy doing, that's when... that depression and shit and the world, you know?
Mm.
So if you look at leaders in the world, Barack Obama wants to be a leader.
Yeah.
He's doing it with enjoyment.
He enjoys it.
Yeah.
And you enjoy watching him.
Yeah, and you actually can see. Yeah. He's doing it with enjoyment.
Yeah.
And that enjoyment is his reward.
Yeah.
Everything else is just Then you get other guys that's got other motives.
Like Trump does not, for me, there's no joy I'm getting out of seeing.
Nah, I think he's got joy. I think his
where
motive.
Is his joy? What
I
is
think
his
motive?
He's king of the world.
Yeah, he's driven by something else. He's driven by what can I achieve? Yeah. So I've achieved all these things. What more can I achieve? Which is a good thing.
Wait, I want to take this thing back. I want to take it back to relationships.
Okay, right.
Because now we're talking, you know, we had started going on about enjoyment and agreements and, you know, what are we agreeing to, right?
The institution of marriage.
The institution of marriage.
Mm.
But I don't think it's even. I think the scales are a little bit tipped. Just in terms of, you know, we're talking to someone. She was talking about the difference between how men respond to infidelity and how women respond to infidelity. And I actually spoke to a therapist as well who said the same thing, which was like males' response to infidelity and female response are just not the same thing. Where, you know, in that way where I would be like, okay, I'm going to move on. He got what he needed to get. It's out there, but I'm here. I'm the one. Ne? But as a guy, you're going, hey, someone went into my territory?
Yeah,
you
but,
went in.
Yeah, again. So that comes with pride and ego only.
Yeah.
It's only pride and ego. Because you, when you sleep at night, you can fathom. You can go. When you sleep at night, you can go, yesterday, then you don't feel so bad. But when you're confronted with it, then your pride and ego takes over.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
So men...
But we can't ignore that. I also feel like we can all be trying to change the world. But sometimes you have to go, I know this is the beast I'm struggling with. This is the beast I'm battling or facing. So we do have to accommodate that. Because I can't pretend I didn't know that's what you're like. Am I making sense?
Totally. It's that expectation. So, yes, this is a difficult one. And I, in my all my years, I couldn't get my head around this. Because you can't separate emotion and logic.
Yeah.
Because the logic thing is the person still love you,
yes.
But the person had needs.
Yeah.
Or the logic says the person loves you, but you don't do certain things for the person. So the person went to go to a certain place and listen to certain type of music. Because the music that you listen to and the music that she listens to is two different things.
Sure.
Or you listen to two different things.
Yeah.
So now I still love the person, but I don't like his music. So I'm gonna go listen to music somewhere else. Or I wanna do so that thing also. The other thing is that you know when you become too comfortable.
Yes.
And when you become what's this word? It starts with a C. Do me help me, yummy. When stuff is just too comfortable and you ignore certain things, and you become
When you become complacent,
So complacency also plays a big part, but I can't get my head around the fact that although you go sleep at night and then you as a male you go sleep at night and you go I'm fine with that person being with another person. But when you're confronted with that person and in the ego and pride, pride goes and stuff. But the thing about it is the happiness factor.
Yes.
If you really love a person or if you really, you would want to see that person successful.
Yes.
So even if you, because sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes there's certain people that won't be able to ride a bike.
True.
And there's nothing you can do about
the
it.
Balance,
Yeah. There's nothing you can do. Yeah. You must just move on now.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's going to be certain things that even if you try make a blind guy see, he's blind. He can't see.
Mm.
So you can't. So there's certain things that you have to accept and about yourself even.
Yeah.
So I have to accept certain things about myself.
Mm.
Like there's certain things that I can't change. Or I don't want to change because it's not...
It's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that, but if you don't accept me for that, harikai. It's like, it's fine. I can't ride a bicycle. Go get somebody else that can ride a bicycle.
And for some people, it's like...
And that doesn't mean I'm not going to love you anymore.
Yes. I'm going to continue loving you. So love isn't a reason.
Yeah, but
sometimes you do drown. Like monotony, complacency, routine.
Yeah.
No, those but, three things. Monotony, routine complacency, can, routine.
I think the biggest thing is complacency. Routine is fine. Monotony is fine. Like grandparents did the same shit for like 50 years.
And they were happy with
it. And they
it.
Were happy with yeah. it and stuff. And they had a routine. The routine was fine.
Because then everybody knows where they belong.
Yeah.
But then when you break the routine, it's such a huge thing.
Exactly.
It's a huge, it's a destabilizer. So I also don't want to have that thing that is, you don't want to be destabled.
Yeah.
You don't want
to know.
Destabilized. That's the word, destabilized. Because for me, it's like if you have routine, I feel like then it means there is something that can be destabilized. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you...
I have a routine phobia. I have serious routine phobia, even it's with like my own children.
If the conveyor belt stops.
Yes. Yes, then everything's going to F out.
Yeah.
That freaks me out. Just because I'm one of those people who needs freedom.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. Freedom is like... But
my mother told me that my addiction to freedom would work against me ever getting married. Like, honestly, when my mother found out I was getting married, she was shocked. She was proper like, you're actually getting married.
Because of the institution of what marriage is.
Yeah.
So why? Because I still feel that institution can be rewritten. Yeah. It's like people...
And you do that as a couple. Hey, you have to agree.
Yeah,
you have to both...
Because point of reference, it's like, so for a person from India to get married is different for a person from Sweden to get married. Because like certain places in Sweden, you get married and you know we're going to become swingers.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, like after five years or after a couple of months, you know we go into a swingers club.
Yeah.
You know. Whereas in India that you can't.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. So there's certain areas and certain places in like in Japan they don't even get married anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
but they don't even pump generally.
They do.
They don't, Joey. No, their population is in cuck because they're not pumping enough. What are you talking about?
No, they the choices of how they choose not to have children.
No, dude, they're not pumping enough. Forget not having children. I even read a whole article. Even the sex industry people are going, yeah, even as
but
didn't
I put
we're
you
getting
on
very
it,
few people.
I think I put you on a documentary too. I think I did. Because I read, it's Vice. It's on Vice. Where the people go for hugs and they phone a dating agency and just go out on a date. And then there's another agency that will just give you a spooning. And there's another agency that will just give you...
That's insane.
And for
but
us,
suppose
wait.
We all need different things. No. I'm saying it's insane, but it makes so much sense in terms of everybody having different needs in relationships. And sometimes when you get into a relationship, now you're obligated to fulfill other shit that you're not interested in. Like some people are purely in a relationship so they can get laid and they don't want to sleep around, so they want to have that one person that they know they're sleeping with. But now
familiar.
This person wants them to talk and hug and make future plans, but they just want to shag. And then there are those who are just like, I need an emotional outlet.
Yeah.
We don't need to shag.
Yeah.
You can shag 10 other people. Yeah. I don't care. Just be here when I need someone who can listen to me. Bounce stuff off with me.
That comes back to the pie chart, isn't it?
Yes. But now that's insane because it means that you are reiterating that relationships are sacrifice. Because
not
when,
really.
They are. Because Joey, I'm gonna come to
sacrifice.
You. All I need is sex.
Yeah.
You come to me. All you need is emotional stability.
Yeah.
We come together.
Yeah.
I'm giving you that thing so I can get this.
Yeah.
You giving me that thing so you can get that. But sometimes I don't have the energy to give you the thing you want and you don't have the energy to give me the thing I want. But we love each other and we know why we are in this thing together. But I have decided that no, the fact that you don't give me this means you don't get this from me and you don't, you know what, you don't value me anymore. And it's not even about value. It's about, no, it's not that I don't value you anymore. It's just, I don't have the energy right now to give you that particular thing that you need.
So again, it comes back to, you must do what you do because you want to do it and you must do it with enjoyment.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it and you don't do it with enjoyment, it's going to get to that point.
No, but what happens to you? You don't want to hurt the next person. What happens to that?
Again, it's like, but it must come from both sides. You see, we always think of relationships as one-sided.
Yeah.
We always think about two wheels can't go, if there's an axis, let's just say the axle between two wheels, that's the relationship.
Yeah.
If the one wheel
stops turning,
then it's going to go down in circles. Yeah. You have to go together. Yeah. You have to go the same amount of speed. You have to, if there's no axle, you can't now try and put the axle there.
Mm.
Yeah. No, you're going to tape it up and then the axle broke and then you're still going to go this way and this way, but you love each other. Oh, and then the axle comes and then you, yeah. So it's again, is that, there was one thing that you said now that I wanted to comment on, but now I completely forgot now. The needs, is the needs again. It's like in Japan, they need certain things.
Yes.
So now, like you say, I want that cuddle. I want that emotion. I want that. They take it out of the next person's response. They take it away from that, the responsibility of that person.
Mm.
That's why there's stuff like, oh, I'm going to go to a place where I can just cuddle, or I'm going to go to a guy where I can just speak, or I'm going to go to a person where I can just have sex, like that. So they take it, they take the responsibility to themselves in their own hands.
Mm.
Whereas we, and this is the key, I am not responsible for your emotional makeup. I choose to love you because I want to love you. And if you reciprocate, that's a bonus.
Mm.
Don't make me responsible for your emotional makeup. If you don't, if you can't give me what I'm giving you, don't blame me. Don't reflect it on society.
Mm.
You're not. Ultimately, everybody is responsible for their own emotional makeup. And that's the key.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it right there. I know there are people, if you know Joy Rastino, going, yo, this ninja is deep. Yeah, he's my philosopher, this guy.
Right.
I can't wait for him to actually write a book on philosophy, on Joey's philosophy, the gospel according to Yusuf Razdeen. So every time I have sipping tea, Joey, I have a section called Hug a Man, and
yes,
I give a reason to hug a man.
Yes.
So today, what kind of men are we hugging today? We're hugging a man who isn't blaming his emotional makeup on the women in his life.
Yes. Ultimately, we are responsible for our own emotional makeup.
That is deep.
Both men and women.
You know, my husband once said that to me in a fight, and I was so livid. But funny enough, after I'd calmed down, to this day, it's something that I've held on to because I thought it is so true. It was when I was upset about something and I told him about it and I was like, this really pissed me off. And he said, I'm not responsible for how you feel.
Yes.
I'm not responsible for how you react.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I was doing when I said this to you.
Mm.
So, yes, let's take that away. Let's put that in our pipes and smoke it. That was Mr. Joey Razdeen, Yusuf Razdeen, sipping tea with me, Tumi Morake. I hope you were as entertained as I was by this young man. I hope we've given you some serious food for thought, because even me now I feel like I must go and have a sit down with my husband. Like, baby, I just spoke to Joey and I'm so sorry. I'm a mess. So, I will see you back here next week. We will be having some more good times. Hopefully, I will be in the studio because isn't it me? I'm busy. I'm traveling the world. I'm making money. But I do still love you. Bye-bye.
Cliff Central.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com